All right. Thank you, Brother Travis. That's an awesome song. And I thank the Lord for every soldier of the cross who's ever died for us. And I thank the Lord who has died for us. And I thank every soldier who has allowed us to be free here today to take our copy of God's Word and to turn it to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. So you stand with me. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And we'll read one verse and one verse only. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Today is Memorial Day. Or tomorrow's Memorial Day, we are going to celebrate tonight at Brother Danny's and with the other churches. And so considering the holiday within our series, I want to speak to you today about remembering our heritage. Remembering our heritage. Currently, we're in a series, What Every Parent Wants Their Kids to Know. And I'm persuaded that we in this country, we are losing our spiritual heritage. And I believe it's up to us as parents to pass down a spiritual legacy and a spiritual heritage to our children. And I believe they need to know what it's like to shout. They need to know what it's like to see revival and repentance and people come to know the Lord. And so I believe it's a truth that every parent wants their kids to know. And that is our spiritual heritage, but not only our spiritual heritage, but also our national heritage. And I believe as much as our spiritual heritage is diminishing, so is our national heritage. I believe that we are forgetting who we are as Americans. That we have allowed liberalism and modernism and secularism to change us. That I believe that this country was built upon the principles and precepts of the Word of God. I believe that we are a Christian nation. And I am proud that our money says, in God we trust. Amen. And I believe that. And so I believe the day where we're losing these things, and it's us parents that are here. We have got to pass on that legacy and that heritage to the next generation. And this is what Moses had talked about in Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and in verse number 7. He carries the same idea that we're going to talk about today. Moses says this here in chapter 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Here Moses is telling the people of God, I want you to remember what God did for us in the past. You remember the past generations. That is the past soldiers and leaders and spiritual leaders. What God did for us spiritually and nationally. You remember the generations of old. And how are we going to remember that? Children, you ask your fathers. You ask your elders that are among us, and it's our obligation to pass that on to the next generation, and then they pass it on to the next generation, and so on. That way, it builds a spiritual heritage, and we leave a legacy of faith, and I believe that's what every parent wants their kids to know, according here to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. You can be seated. Pray for us this morning that God will bless us and strengthen us as we stand here and preach this morning, and we'll preach on the subject. Remembering our heritage. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for our salvation. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments, God, that you would strengthen our body, God, and have us, Lord, to do what you've called us to do. I pray, God, that you would help us to remember, God, the great spiritual heritage, Lord, that's been left behind in this country. God, that you would help us, Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, to remember not only the graves that are filled with bodies of those who have died for our political freedom, but God, may remember the grave, Lord, the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, giving us spiritual freedom. I pray, God, that you bless us, help us, Lord, to understand your word today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it's an American holiday. And many of us will gather together tomorrow with our families, and we will celebrate the holiday that was officially proclaimed, you may not know this, on May 5th, 1868. And it was a day that was set aside for remembrance. It was a day for all Americans to remember certain events and certain people in history. It's an American holiday. But for the believer, Memorial Day can be much different. Not only do you and I remember Memorial Day as an American, as the national sacrifice, but you and I as Christians, we also look to the spiritual sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that died for us and gave us freedom. Can you say amen? You see, believers, we not only commemorate the
blood that was shed to ensure our national freedom, but we also can commemorate the blood that was shed to ensure our spiritual freedom. For most people tomorrow, they will recognize the graves that are filled with the bodies of those that have died for us to ensure our national freedom. But as believers, you and I can look to the graves, not only the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the graves of spiritual heroes that have provided and protected our spiritual freedom. We can honor them just as well. And today I want to look at this in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And as we're in this current series of what every parent wants their children to know, I want to preach on the subject of what Christian parents want their kids to remember when it comes to our spiritual heritage. And as I said, I believe that we are losing spiritual heritage in this country. And I'm afraid it's diminishing every single day. As you look at our country, you can agree with me that the moral collapse has caused untold damage among our families. With divorce being rampant on every side, tearing away families from the home, separating children from their families, you can agree with me today that we are in a moral dilemma. As a matter of fact, when I study the Word of God, I see that any attack on the moral fiber of society is literally an attack upon the family. We see the family being attacked on every side, being torn down, separated, trying to be redefined. There's a spiritual heritage and a legacy that we are losing in this country. And I believe that the only hope for America is for Christians to once again proclaim and reassert the biblical truths of the Word of God back into the home. You see, when the home is destroyed, then the nation will be destroyed. When the home is destroyed, society will be destroyed. And the only hope for America and for another national revival among us is for believers that are sitting here today and all across this country to proclaim and to reassert the divine standards of God's Word and to especially live it out in their own families. Can you say amen? And I believe that's good preaching, Brother David. What we need today is a revival. What we need today is repentance. What we need today is a time of remembrance. And I'm more convinced now more than ever that those who championed the cause of America were men and women of faith. Those who championed the cause of American independence was biblical Christianity. They believed in the Bible. They believed in the spiritual heroes of faith. They believed in the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. And I'm going to say this today. I believe that it was Bible-believing Christians that founded this country. It doesn't matter to me what our current government may say. It doesn't matter to me what the liberal agenda may say. It was Bible-believing Christians that founded this country. And the reason why we have political freedom today, listen, the reason why we've got political freedom today is because our founding forefathers, they first experienced freedom in Christ. And because of that freedom in Christ, that is, they were saved and they were bought by the blood of the Lamb. They believed in the Bible. Because of that spiritual freedom, they did their very best to ensure that we would have political freedom because they first experienced freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our very first president was President George Washington. And what a tremendous individual George Washington was. George Washington once stated, he said, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." Basically, Washington is saying that God will never bless us if we disregard the Bible. God will never open up the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing upon our country if we disregard the Bible. Listen, America cannot implore a holy God and ask God for His blessings and ask God to give us His blessings. And at the same time, when we parade through the streets and we parade our rights, asking for rights for abortion, asking for rights for homosexuality, policies and procedures that are contrary to the Word of God. How can we implore the blessings of a holy God and at the same time shake our fists in the face of God and demand policies and laws that are contrary to the Word of God? You see, President, amen, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. You see, it can't be done. And I'm not standing here from a spiritual point of view. I'm telling you, also one of our presidents from a political platform stated the perpetuous smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. It was William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. He stated that he believed one of the chief dangers of the 21st or the 20th century would be this. He stated, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without regeneration, morality without God, heaven without hell, and religion without the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he's right. One of the dangers of that century, he said, Christianity without Christ. And we see that today. We see forgiveness without regeneration. Man believes that he can be forgiven and he can go and say a little prayer and he can make his little trip to the altar and he can be forgiven. Listen, friend, if you come to the altar and that's all that you get is an old-fashioned trip to the altar, listen, an old-fashioned trip is not genuine regeneration and forgiveness. The old-fashioned trip may get you there, but while you are there, you must recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and call upon Him to forgive you of your sins. Can you say amen? Many people are taking an old-fashioned trip to the altar, but they're not getting genuine conversion. The Holy Ghost of God must draw you, and you in repentance and faith must believe that Jesus Christ is the only way that you will ever find forgiveness and escape from hell. Can you say amen? He was right when he said morality without God, heaven without hell, and religion without the Holy Spirit. This is the day and age that you and I are living in. And I am fearful that our next generation will lose their spiritual heritage. They won't understand their national freedom. They will not understand their spiritual freedom. It was James Madison, who was our fourth president, who stated this. He said, "We have staked the whole of our political institution upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that our presidents of the past, they believe the Bible, they embrace the Bible. This country is a Christian nation. In God we still trust. We are built upon the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. And Moses told the people of God, make sure that you as a man of God and as a woman of God, you remember the days of old. You consider the years of many generations that we were built upon Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. So under the economy of the Old Testament, God brings up this prophet preacher by the name of Moses. And he tells the people of Israel, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. How will we know, Moses? Ask your fathers, ask your elders, and they will tell thee. Basically, he is saying it's the responsibility of every mom and dad and grandparent in here to pass on to the next generation a spiritual legacy and also a national legacy. How we were set free, how we are living in freedom today, that we're able to worship in spirit and truth because of those of the past generations. And so today I want to honor them, and I want to look at three things today that you and I ought to remember when it comes to our heritage. First of all, I think that we ought to remember every brave soldier. Every brave soldier. Now, I believe that the national freedom you and I enjoy today came through tremendous sacrifice. You read our American history and you see how the lives of men and women have transformed and changed the society because of their sacrifice. You think about it. The right to keep and bear arms, the right to own property, the right to come and go as we please, the right to speak our mind without fear of being arrested, the right to gather in this room today to worship God in spirit and in truth, to hold a Bible in every hand and every home and to apply it to your heart. It came through tremendous sacrifice. That is a privilege that all of us enjoy. And that privilege was only possible because of the men and women who have fought for our freedom. Can you say amen? And we need to honor that. I don't know about you, but it really just burns me up when I see people in our country burning our flag. It really upsets me when I see people in the media dogging out our military and our soldiers. when they are criticizing our soldiers, our men and women who are in the military. It really bothers me when I see our country being demoralized and deteriorated when we look at the past heroes and how today, even in our school system, they are trying to rewrite history. You've got a bunch of loonies down there in Texas who's trying to think they are smarter than everybody else in the educational system, and they're trying to rewrite history. I got news for them. All of history is his story. Can you say amen? We're not the ones that write history. He writes it for us. Can you say amen? They're trying to change our history by saying that our national leaders and our political leaders, those who fought for freedom and those who believed in Jesus Christ, that it's been a farce, it's been a lie, and it's been a cover-up. I'm here to tell you, friend, when you study history and you look at the Word of God, you see that God has chosen in His Word and His sovereign decrees that He would rise up a generation. He would always have a remnant that would declare the story of His glory, and God's people would never be left without a prophet. Can you say amen? God has used brave men and women, soldiers of the cross, soldiers of this country, to make sure that our freedom has been secure. When I look past back in our American culture and history, I look at the men, the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. And have you ever wondered what happened to those 56 men? These men were extraordinary individuals. They knew that signing the Declaration of Independence, they knew if they were to be caught, they would and captured, that they would be tortured and put to death. As a matter of fact, some of these men, five signers, were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 of them had their homes ransacked and burned. According to history, 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons that were captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. These guys were willing to lay their life down. They were willing to do the ultimate sacrifice in order to ensure freedom. They are brave soldiers. One man said of them, they signed and they pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor for the price of freedom. They wanted to make sure that generations to come, that the men and women sitting in this room today, that they can worship God in spirit and in truth, that they did not have to be dictated by any type of government to tell them what the Bible says, that every home and every heart could have a Bible in their hand, and we could establish churches, and we could worship God in spirit and truth. These are the brave soldiers that experienced freedom in Christ, and they made sure that they had political freedom. They are the brave soldiers. And tomorrow on Memorial Day, we ought to honor them. Can you say amen? We ought to honor them. You say, Brother David, what type of men were they? They must have been trained individuals. They must have been men who were well sought after. Well, 24 of them were lawyers and jurists. 11 were just merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Some of the men were men of means and well educated. You see, they were common people just like you and I, but they signed that Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty could be death if they were captured. They understood that the price of freedom demands sacrifice, and many had paid the ultimate price. The ultimate price was death. Death for freedom. And can I tell you today, friend, not only the brave soldiers of our national freedom, but I think about the brave soldiers of our spiritual freedom, that they understood that the ultimate price of freedom was death, that they were willing to lay down their life as a martyr, as a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know today, I'm proud of every single soldier that has served our country. I'm proud of every single one of them, and I'm proud to be an American today, and I'm proud that they have fought for freedom. Whether they are in the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, whether they're the Coast Guard, you and I are in debt to them. You and I owe honor to them. We ought to give gratitude to them. They are the fearless soldiers of freedom, and I think we ought to put our hands together and thank them for being the brave soldiers that gives us freedom today to worship in spirit and in truth. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 Give them a hand clap. You're here today because of their sacrifice. You're here today because they believed in freedom. We're here today to sing and to shout and to praise because America's free today. Can you say amen? God for the brave soldiers. Amen. I believe it's important for us as parents that we pass down that legacy. It's truth that every parent wants their children to know that we honor not only the brave soldiers, but I think about secondly, that we honor the bold saints of God who have fought the fight of faith that you and I could have what we have today. You know, I think of some of the tremendous individuals in my own life. You know, men of God who have fought a good fight, left a legacy of faith. You know, this church here was basically built upon the ministry of Glenn Boatner. Over the years that he was here, 18 to 20 years that he was here, many of you are still here today, and you were a part. Many of our deacons and many of our choir members are still here today that was a part of that man's legacy. And though he may not have been the greatest expositor, and he may not have been a great evangelistic individual like Billy Graham and all this and that, I can tell you this, he changed your life, and he changed this community. Can you say amen? And I think about men like that, you know, who they poured their life out and they laid their life out as a sacrifice. And there's still many men like that here today. Well, there's some sitting in this room that have sacrificed their tithe and their talent and their all these things to make sure that their children has a place to worship in freedom and in truth. I think about the bold saints of God. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. That is, there was a promise that God would bless them and God would bring them into a land. But they never seen that promise. They died in faith, believing that it would come. Down through the centuries, I have discovered in the Word of God and also through church history that many have been martyred for the fight of faith. Many have laid down their life that you and I could have a copy of the Word of God today. Do you realize that many great men of God through church history, they went through all sorts of torture and even death that you could have a copy of the Word of God today? You see, we take it for granted that we have the Bible in our hand. As a matter of fact, I got the Bible on my phone. Not only do I have it on my phone, it also reads to me. I don't even have to read it. I can just press it and it reads. You probably have. How many of you got a copy of the Bible on your phone? Raise your hand. Many of you. How many of you have one Bible? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Golly, the rest of y'all have a Bible? Do you own a Bible? Raise your hand. There we go. Y'all must be asleep. You didn't have your coffee, huh? I was like, we don't have Bible. What are y'all reading? Sears and Roebuck out there? Huh? Time Life magazine? Bring your Bible to church. Amen. How many of you had two Bibles? Raise your hand. Huh? My point is, we've got a copy of the Word of God. You probably got one in your car, sitting on your desk. There's some at home. I've got several in my office. There's probably several of them scattered around here. The church, we always pass one out to the kids. There's Bibles everywhere. As a matter of fact, when I read church history, the first handwritten English manuscript of the Bible was produced in the 1380s by an Oxford theologian by the name of John Wycliffe. Many of you probably heard of John Wycliffe. He was an amazing individual. He wanted to make sure that people had a translation of the Word of God. And he began taking the Word of God and taking it from the Latin Vulgate and the Septuagint and began taking it and translating it so that the people, the common people, could have a copy of the Word of God where they could begin to read. I want you to know that it absolutely infuriated the Pope. The Pope was so angry and so upset. You see, in the Catholic religion in those days, they didn't want anybody reading the Bible but the priest. You see, it's easy if the priests are the only ones reading the Bible, then they can manipulate the people. But when the Word of God got into the hearts and the homes of individuals, it began to transform and change society. That's what brought about the Reformation period. People began to read the Bible like Martin Luther and John Knox and John Huss and these individuals. They begin reading the Word of God and they realized what they were being taught was wrong, that there was a better way. Martin Luther learned that the just shall live by faith. Can you say amen? Salvation wasn't in the church. That the Pope is not an apostle. Amen. Can someone say amen? You don't need to kiss his ring and ask for forgiveness. You've got to kiss the Son. Can you say amen? You've got to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Well, John Wycliffe gave the people a copy of the Word of God. And 44 years after his death, it infuriated the Pope so much that they exhumed his body, opened up his casket, grabbed his bones, burned them, crushed them to death, and scattered them in the sea. I guess he made an impact on society. Can you say amen? You see, the Bible teaches you and I that we need the Word of God in our heart and our life. The devil gets angry when we have the Word of God in our hearts and in our homes. And it's because of these brave saints of God like John Wycliffe, John Huss, and John Knox, and Martin Luther, and John Calvin, and these men down through the centuries that brought about the Reformation period, that brought birth to Christianity, that spread through Europe and on into America with George Whitefield and all these great men of God, that God has given us the bold saints for you and I to remember. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." You say, well, Pastor, how do I fight the good fight of faith? How do we as the bold saints in this generation, how do we fight the good fight of faith? Let me give you an illustration. One of the most famous photographs that was ever taken was there by the United States Marines raising the American flag during World War II. And many of you have seen the picture time and time again. It's on February 23rd, 1945 at approximately 10:20 a.m. That flag was hoisted up over top of that island. The sight of that American flag waving over that island, waving over those men, it brought a symbol of victory and it brought a symbol of freedom in the hearts of those men. It was a symbol that they raised up, they held on to, and it brought this sense of energy. It brought this sense of courage. It brought a sense of strength to the soldiers. Just looking to the symbol of freedom brought strength to the soldiers. Can I tell you today, when you and I lift up the symbol of freedom, when you and I lift up the bloodstained cross, when you and I lift up the Bible that we hold in our hands, within our homes and within our marriages and within our heart, as we look to the symbol of freedom and we look to the Word of God, it gives a sense of energy, it gives a sense of strength, it gives a sense of audacity that helps me to go another mile when I hear the preaching of the Word of God, when it's sung within our churches, when it's taught within our Sunday school. The symbol of freedom is what gives us strength. Can you say amen? That's how we fight the good fight of faith. That's how we move forward as Christian soldiers. We lift up the bloodstained banner and we hold it up high. One man has said, well, he said, believers are the ones responsible for carrying the banner of the Great Commission. The poor spiritual condition of the world today is a testimony to the fact that the average Christian does not have a burning desire to help advance the gospel message or assist in building his church. All may it never be said of Parkway Baptist Temple. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's be missional in our endeavors and let's do what God has called us to do. Can you say amen? Tomorrow as we meet, we think about the brave soldiers. We are to remember not only the brave soldiers, but we are to remember the bold saints of God. Men and women of faith who have passed on a spiritual heritage to help us to learn and to lean on and to love the Word of God. But then there's one more thing that you and I need to remember. Not only the bold saints and not only those soldiers who've given their life, but also you and I are to remember the blessed Savior. You know, Paul told Timothy, he was a young preacher starting out in the ministry. He told him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8, he says, remember, Timothy, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, listen, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Here's a young preacher. He's pastoring in Ephesus. You know anything about the city of Ephesus? It was an idolatrous city. There was temples that were there, and it was an industrious city, but it was an idolatrous city. And here is this young preacher. He's going to be pastoring there in Ephesus, carrying on the legacy of John and Paul the apostle. And as he's pastoring there, he is told to remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, he's raised from the dead. You know, that's good encouragement for any young preacher here today. When you stand and preach, you remember Jesus Christ is alive and well, and that the message that you hold in your heart and in your hand, it's from the Word of God. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're not worshiping some dead prophet that's cold and silent in a tomb. You're to remember that he is raised from the dead according to the gospel. That is the good news. Can you say amen? He tells them, I want you to remember. Remember the blessed Savior. Tomorrow we remember the bold soldiers. We remember the bold saints, but we remember also the blessed Savior. We remember him and his sacrifice. You see, most of the observations tomorrow will look to those graves of the soldiers who have given their lives for political freedom. But I want you to know, for the child of God, you and I can look to the grave that gave us spiritual freedom. And we can remember the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what should we remember on this holiday? First of all, you can remember his celebration. Oh, there was a great celebration when the Lord died. If you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15, you'll find a great verse in the Word of God that tells you what was going on in the spirit world. Have you ever wanted to know what was going on in the spirit world when Jesus was dying? What was all of hell doing? What was the demons doing? What were the angels doing? Well, the Bible tells us exactly what was going on. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15. As Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says, and having spoiled, listen, spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Bible says, and having spoiled. That phrase there means he plundered. It means like an army that was victorious in conquering the enemy. The Bible says while Jesus was on the cross that he spoiled. That is, he plundered the works of the devil. That word spoiled there also can mean put off. The Bible says, and having put off principalities. You see, they were trying to drag him down to death. Oh, but friend, he arose from the grave. Can you say amen? He put off principalities. He plundered the principalities. He was able to hoard off all the demons of hell. And the Bible says that he made a show of them openly. That word openly means all outspoken. It means frankness, or it means bluntness. It's as a conqueror who's returning from victory. He displays his triumph in a triumphal procession. So Christ displayed openly to all the world and all the demons of hell. When he rose from the grave, he spoiled principalities and he declared that he is alive. Can you say amen? And there was a great celebration that was in heaven. You and I today, we celebrate the risen Savior. We celebrate that the tomb is empty. Second of all, we are not only to remember his celebration, we are to remember his invitation. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We're to remember his invitation. Listen, friend, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, God's invitation to you is this. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and God will give you rest. It's his invitation to you. We remember his celebration. We remember his invitation. But then we also remember his coronation. Oh, there's coming a great, grand, and glorious day where he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Revelation 17, verse number 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. There's coming a great, grand, and glorious day that Jesus Christ will be crowned King of kings and Lord of lords. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward and I am waiting in anticipation for that moment when he shall be revealed in all of his glory and all of his splendor, and you and I who are saved, we shall be with him. Can you say amen? We celebrate this risen Savior. We celebrate the blessed Savior. We remember his celebration, his invitation, and his coronation. We remember him and his power and his purpose and plan and his strength and his sovereignty and his great salvation. We are to remember him today. So tomorrow, as you gather together with your family, perhaps you'll be picnicking with your family as you're roasting the hot dogs, cooking the steak, frying the chicken and all this and that, celebrating and all this and that. Make sure that you gather your family together, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. And you hold hands with your family somewhere. And you pray. And you remember the things we spoke about today. And you talk about them often. You honor our country. You honor the church. And you honor Christ. You lift up the bloodstained banner. You encourage your family to look to the symbol of victory, which is the cross. And you remember, and when you do, you'll be passing on a heritage that will change and transform your children and generations to come forever. Father, we thank you.